Not only does creation groan, not only do we groan, one last one groaning here, isn't there? The Spirit takes upon himself that burden to groan for you. And I think that's the most overwhelming statement I've come across here in Romans 8 so far. But the Spirit takes upon the burden of our groanings, and he groans. And by now you should say that is an amazing truth.
It is that amazing truth we focus on today here on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Greetings in Christ and welcome to our program. We are back in Romans once again. We are focusing on chapter 8, verses 18 through 27, a message we began yesterday simply entitled Groaning for Glory. It's a look at how the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Join us for a very encouraging look at our tender God. Here's Chris.
It was in his very suffering that Christ was most revealed. I learned to trust him, said Paul. This is what Christ had said to him. My grace is sufficient, therefore I'm going to boast in these things. Now, I say that because this is totally against our common thinking. I mean, what is the common thinking that goes on, if we're honest? The common thinking that goes on in us is we're all looking for a life that runs pretty smooth. We all want children who are doing well. Of course, I want that. We want to make a good living. We don't want to struggle. We don't want to live paycheck to paycheck. I want the picture perfect life. I want to see the lines on my lawn when I mow, you know. I don't want them crooked. This is what I want. This is what we're after. And we think that's evidence of blessing. When everything's going well. And you know, that's the message of the false prophets, by the way. The message of the false prophets is glory now. The message of the false prophets is you can have it all now. And something is wrong with you if you're not getting the glory now. And the minute anything goes wrong, because we've so been bombarded with this kind of mindset, we're so used to, as we looked at this morning, blessing from the Lord, which is wonderful. Hey, we receive so many blessings from the Lord, food and gladness, and he cares for us and watches over us. But the minute something goes wrong, we are questioning him and challenging him, wondering if he's really good. And how backwards we are when the whole message of Scripture is, even amidst all of this blessing, it would be the absence of trial, it would be the absence of suffering, it would be the absence of chastening that would be the exception for the Christian. You see why God sent Adam and Eve out of the garden? You ever thought about that? I didn't hit on it too much this morning. I don't want them eating of the tree and living forever. Living forever in this state. I don't want people going on living forever like this, now fallen. Death has to occur. That's why the Heidelberg nails it when it says that our death puts an end to our sin and is an entrance into eternal life. Paul is saying this tonight, that as we are still a wilderness people heading to the promised land, you have to understand the pathway there is not easy. It's full of hardship, it's full of suffering, and it's training us. We need to learn patience through this, and it's building in us a what? A hope. A hope. God has a goal here. God has a goal. You want to continue this the way it is? No, God is taking this all somewhere. And there's a hope of the glory to come. And so Paul is being realistic about the present. And did you notice there's one word that permeates the text tonight? There's one word that shines in this text. Three times it says it in real emphasis. You'll notice there, it's the word groaning. Lament. A sighing inwardly as we are anxiously waiting for something. There's something that's going to characterize the pilgrimage of the believer. It is going to happen to you, and you are going to groan. And that groaning is good for you. That groaning is producing something. That groaning God designed. It's bearing the fruit of patience that you would look for something so much more wonderful. Keeping your eyes fixed on the upward calling, as Paul said he's given us. Look at verse 19. It's as if he's saying to us in verse 19, let me show you how all of creation is doing this. All of creation is groaning with this goal of glory. For the earnest, notice verse 19, for the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. The creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. What's he talking about? He's personifying creation, if you will. In other words, he's saying creation's like a person. Think of, for a minute, creation being a person. And Paul says, do you know that creation itself is longing for glory? What does that mean? Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Creation struggles. You realize that? Creation burns. In other words, creation longs for so much more. It longs for it. Because God subjected it to a kind of frustration. You say, well, what's that? When did God do that? Well, that's Genesis 3, when he cursed the ground for Adam's sake, right? Adam had sinned. God curses the ground. And what happened? The sin was imputed to Adam in their account. Creation didn't do anything wrong. But what now happened to the creation? God cursed the ground, and right then and there, God subjected the creation to decay. And the whole creation became ineffective in achieving what it should have. And notice what he says. It's going to be delivered from bondage to corruption, sharing together in this liberty that we have as God's children. Our sins caused this. And Paul says, great, guess what? Creation itself is waiting. And it's helping us to think through that everything's going somewhere. Creation itself is eagerly awaiting the revealing of God's children. And this is why 1 Peter will come along and say, God's not slow in giving you guys the promise. God wants to give you the promise right now. God wants to put an end to this now. But you know why he's not putting an end to this now? Because he's long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. He's going and getting every last one of his elect. And he subjected the creation to this until that happens. What an amazing section. My tulips and linden. Do you know I'm a flower guy? I love flowers. I love tulips. But I was always disappointed with those tulips. Those tulips frustrated me in linden. Because they popped up and in 2 days they were gone, especially when I hit them with the lawnmower and then I had an angry wife. And I always thought about those tulips. What would the tulip bee? I don't know. But I think to myself, it's being held back. And we get a glimmer of that glory. But imagine when all of this is laid waste, 2 Peter 3, and it's melted with fire, and it's a new creation where righteousness shall dwell. Even Calvin says, all creatures have a better state that awaits them. Creation itself has a hope. God did this, set this hope. And that's why, you know, as I saw a commercial, I think it was a few years ago, with Al Sharpton and Pat Robertson sitting together on a park bench. Anyone remember that? How could those guys sit together on a park bench? But anyways, they sat together on a park bench. And they disagreed about everything, but the one thing they agreed about was the need to protect the environment. And I thought to myself, God subjected it to a curse. I'm not saying we shouldn't care about the environment, but what's Paul telling us? You are suffering. Don't forget, God subjected the creation to futility, and it's longing for the glory that is to come. It's waiting on you. It's waiting on you. So he's showing us this tonight, and then he moves right to us. Did you notice this in verse 23? Not only that, but we also have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves, in verse 23. Notice how he says it. Not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Here it is again. Grown inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. There is this painful groaning that goes on in us. And you know this groaning. You know this groaning. Isn't it just true that the greatest frustration with the Christian life is that the inward man's been renewed and you desire deeply to love Christ with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And do you? You want it. It's the desire of the redeemed heart. And you're fighting with the fact that you don't fulfill what is the desire of your heart, and that is a groan. And we're fighting with that. And we give him so little. And sin informs the bodily life, as Paul's been describing. And what does that create in us? It creates this groaning to put off and to put on for a resurrected body. Groans come out of the sheep in the church all the time. Seeing suffering and death, pain and affliction, groans. And you may not realize it, but what that is producing in you, what that is producing is a desire and an eager anticipation for something more. That's why I laugh when I looked at a society today that is obsessed with making themselves young. You know? You ever think about it? Plastic surgeries and endless things to make you young are very aging. Is moving us to the reality that to die is gain. It's so backwards to think that God's love is shown when we don't face trials and afflictions and sufferings. It's through these things that God is training us, painful as it is, some much more painful than others, that we would not be satisfied with how things are. I'm not satisfied with how things are. I'm not satisfied when one of you dies. In other words, death is a terrible thing, isn't it? And I want the resurrected body for you. I want more. And that's exactly what Paul says in verse 24. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen, it's not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. You hear it? We've not obtained the glory yet. We don't see that glory yet. In response to this, what we're often trying to do is create a pain-free, comfortable life. I just as much as the next guy want that. But the Lord is telling us that he is using these things to train us and to persevere us and to teach us patience and to help us. And you know, this extends to so many areas, doesn't it? I think one of the greatest challenges for church life today, when you think about it, you know, what are we trying to do in the life of the church? What is the great cry in this land? We want more, don't we? It's not enough to sit and listen. And what have we tried to do? We want more power in worship. We want a better experience in worship. And so we long to see more. We long to feel more. We long to create something more. I mean, God gave us two sacraments, as I went over tonight in the Heidelberg, that encourages us. He gives us a visible word, but we built the thing now so that we would create a kind of glory now when we don't realize that when we worship in spirit and in truth, we are eagerly anticipating the worship of God, what? Face to face of Christ. And when we push that, we're denying. And we're trying to prevent what is held out for us And that's really important to think about. We patiently wait in hope. And hope is not wishful thinking. Hope is certainty. I close with this. Not only does creation groan, not only do we groan, one groaning here, isn't there? Look at verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Did you hear that last statement? The Spirit takes upon himself that burden to groan for you. And I think that's the most overwhelming statement I've come across here in Romans 8 so far. Besides the note, they're all overwhelming. I've said that. But the Spirit takes upon the burden of our groanings, and he groans. And by now you should say, that is an amazing truth. How so? You don't even know what to pray for, do you? Everyone's felt that. You've struggled with that. Oh, sure, Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus taught us to pray. Jesus taught us the Lord's Prayer. We know the basic content of prayer. But you don't know what to pray for when someone's sick. Is it God's will that person rise again, get well? You don't know what to pray for in certain circumstances at all. You can't read the mind of God. And when you have these sufferings in this life, real groanings come out, don't they? Real groanings when things are happening to loved ones and people and you don't know how to pray. Which way do I go? Paul had the thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment him, and he begged God take it away, and God didn't. And God says, my grace is sufficient. And here's one of the blessings of the Christian life is what has God done? God has sent his Spirit, and the Spirit is doing what? He is interceding with groanings that cannot be uttered. And what an encouragement to us tonight. That the Spirit intercedes, he makes intercession, and the Father hears the prayer of the Spirit. The Spirit searches our hearts, and he knows us, Psalm 139, and he knows our ways, and he knows our thoughts, he knows our being, how he knit us together, and he searches us, and what does he do? He groans. And the Father hears that, and the perfect will of God is accomplished for you. The perfect will of God is accomplished. Praying for us, we realize God's grace is sufficient. And he's asking that the things that go on in our life, whatever it might be, whatever choice he makes, is the right one for you so that you would be trained to live in this hope. That is the greatest encouragement, because if we're left to ourselves, what are we asking for? A groan-free life, that's for sure. And the Spirit is saying, I'm often going to pray for groans for you because I'm going to prepare you for what is to come. He is making sure that what is best for us happens. And now you kind of understand why the Lord's going to say to us, and all the way back from Joseph forward, at the end of Romans 8, he's going to say, that whatever it is in this life, all things, they work together for good. Everything. Think of the whole picture here. It's not easy. I've said that twice today from this morning and now. But until the glory has come, the Lord just said to you, don't lose sight. I am trying you. I am testing you. And I'm producing in your hearts groanings. As all the creation is groaning, to make you have this hope of glory. It will happen. It will happen. You can be sure you will be glorified believing in Jesus by faith alone. I close with the words of 1 Peter. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Let's pray together.
O Lord, our God, we praise you for encouraging us tonight in a hard subject and a challenging subject, and yet so uplifting to know that whatever it is we as believers face, it's not because you're angry at us. It's not because your wrath burns against us. In the big picture, you have just told us that your purpose is that we would groan for glory. And thank you for producing that. Thank you for caring. Thank you for working relentlessly and not leaving us to ourselves. Sanctify us, O Lord, and set us apart to you, that we might learn in whatever circumstance we are in to be content, for to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Well, it is an amazing look at Romans chapter 8. Groaning for glory has been the title of our message yesterday and today. And Pastor Chris will return in just a moment to give us a look ahead to tomorrow's program as we continue in Romans chapter 8, the unconquerable love of God. Now, Pastor Chris will have a sneak peek of that message here in just a few moments as we close out today's broadcast of Abounding Grace. If you have questions or comments about the program, maybe you would like to learn more about who we are, well, you're more than welcome to visit our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. If you have questions, well, address them to questions@agradio.org, and we'll have Pastor Chris answer them as best we can. We may even put it on the air. Again, agradio.org, or call 888-504-8805. Now, at that website, you will also find a few links to Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Follow us on any of those platforms that you frequently visit. And again, you can also listen to past programs as you visit agradio.org. Well, as we close out our time together today, we return the microphone once again to Pastor Chris as we look forward to tomorrow's broadcast, moving back into Romans chapter 8. This is a very crucial chapter in God's Word, especially here in Romans, as we seek to understand God's love in spite of anything and everything that we experience in this life. And again, the message we're looking at tomorrow is called The Unconquerable Love of God. Once again, with a sneak peek at what we have to expect on tomorrow's program, here's Pastor Chris.
It doesn't matter how many times I read over Romans 8, you need this all the time because of the clouding that happens, because of the hardship that happens. And really what Romans 8 is doing for us tonight is it's challenging how we view things. It's challenging how we think through things. It's challenging what we think about the path to glory, how we are to view it, how we are to view, to add to that, sorrow, how we are to view suffering and trial and affliction and hardship. And in all of that, what does that even say about God? What does that say about us? And what does it say about the relationship between the two? Does it leave things in question? The biggest burden is, do things that happen in the interim, do the hardships, the failures, the trials, the afflictions, the awful things that happen along the way, do those things at all affect the outcome? That's a big question. Calvin says that when we look at things from our own judgment, when we're going through hardship, it often seems that God doesn't hear our prayers. The circumstance never changes. It goes on and it goes on and it goes on. The sorrow seems to continue. When does this end? When does this get over? And if that's the case, I've posed from this pulpit before, that often confuses Christians so that they become disillusioned about the Christian life. And they think through this all, well, maybe this is evidence of God's absence. I hope it turns out well in the end. That it? And what we have before us tonight is God answering this dilemma. We have before us the Lord showing us how we are to think through this. And so it's not always easy to hear when you're going through it, but it sure is a great message to prepare you for what is to come.
And that is exactly what we will do here on Abounding Grace. Join us tomorrow with Pastor Chris Gordon in Romans chapter 8. Until then, God bless. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.